I'm back, sports fans. Welcome to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagle from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens from Independent Handicapping Status. So real quick, game get ready to kick off. That's the reason I'm kind of getting through this real quick, Josh. Washington, number 11 team in the nation versus Utah. Big game right now. It looks like Washington's down to 4.5. It opened up at 5.5. A little money coming in on the dog in this game, Utah.
Yeah, again, Utah is tough. I mean, they've overachieved. I mean, they didn't have very high projections heading into the year. They lost a lot of players from last year's team, but just the way they're so physical and the way they're coached, they're the type of team that just kind of seems to be standing at the end every year. They realize Kyle Whittingham's been there so long, it's hard to realize he actually replaced Urban Meyer. That's how long it's been. Urban Meyer went to Florida. And since, going on to Ohio State, but Whittingham's been there, like, whatever it is, 17 years now, and they do a great job of just being competitive every year. But I like Washington a little bit, Ken, because the reason is, they've had some tough luck all year, but you realize the Huskies, they lost to Cal by, like, a point, lost to Oregon in overtime in a game that they had control of most of the time. So they were right there. So they're out of the playoff contention, but last week they beat up on, as they always do, Washington State in that, snowstorm. I just feel like this is the best team in the Pac-12. They won at Utah earlier in the year by 2 touchdowns, and now Utah's starting quarterback is out. They got a true freshman in there named Jason Shelley, who's played pretty well, but Tyler Huntley was the veteran he replaced. I just feel like you look at a senior guy like Jake Browning, Miles Gaskin, against Utah with the freshman QB, and what appears to be, on the line of scrimmage, a matchup issue with Washington being able to match the physicality. I think Washington's cheap here. I mean, they were minus, put it this way, they were minus 6 at Utah earlier in the year, and now they're minus 4 on a neutral value.
John, I noticed you followed up the William Hill mobile app right as I was introducing everybody.
So I did.
What is the current number for Washington? 4.5?
4.5, yeah.
So still 4.5. Still a full point move. Opened at 5.5. I think Nick actually used, I think he used 5.5 on the card. Yeah, 5.5 on the card. So, like I said, I've already weighed in. I took Washington. I found a 4, a very brief 4, and I gobbled up the minus 4 in Washington.
Yeah, I like it. I teased it down with a couple other things tomorrow. Kyle Whittingham's a great coach. I just like Chris Peterson in games like this. And Jake Browning is Jake Browning. I don't see any other way. Utah is always quality, but I think Washington's just a little cut above.
All right. So if you have the William Hill mobile app, you still have time. They haven't kicked off yet. We're watching it. Number 17, Utah versus number 11, Washington. Washington's 4.5 right now. We kind of have a consensus here that we all kind of like Washington. So that's why. Yeah, exactly. I weighed in on Washington. Hey, and we don't always talk about fantasy football, but if you're listening, if you're making a lot of noise over there, buddy, I don't know why. In fantasy football, hey, just so you know, pick up Spencer Ware real quick. If you're listening, guys, Kareem Hunt just got suspended for domestic violence.
Did you watch the video?
No, I have not seen it yet. He may appeal it. But, I know you're in the playoff season and in some of these fantasy leagues, and maybe you haven't heard because you've been working all day. Kareem Hunt has been suspended for domestic violence. So get on the waiver wire and snatch up Spencer Ware. Listen, I'm not saying I don't want to take anything away from this domestic violence suit because it's a serious allegation. I'm not trying to downplay that, but we're a sports show, and any edge I can give you, good luck. So, yeah. Josh.
Yeah, Ken, it's one of those things you mentioned. The legal part of it and what's alleged that he did, it's not a laughing matter at all. But like you said, on the business,
there's no allegations. Watch the video.
It's still right. I mean, it's still something that needs to be taken into account in the handicapping. In that same vein, with what I do at work, the same thing that happened. That news broke, and suddenly we're getting emails and everything like, get him out of the fantasy lineups, get his name out of the rosters. We just can't make sure Hunt's basically taken out of there because from fantasy football's perspective, obviously that's something that needs to be addressed. And with what's alleged, it's like we just kind of want to. Not market his name either.
Yep. If you haven't seen the video, it is very reminiscent of the Ray Rice video, unfortunately. And, I mean, the video ends with the young lady kneeled down, and he goes over and kicks her. So,
I still haven't had a chance to see it.
Is that bad, John?
It's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly.
And that's something that Ray Rice never recovered from either. I know that.
Should he have.
Yeah, exactly. I know it was later in his career, Kareem Hunt, still a very, very young player. We don't know how this is going to unfold, but there is no, just because you're a pro athlete, you don't get a free pass to beat women, period.
It was pretty ugly.
So that's too bad.
And we'll see, Ken, as this unfolds, is when exactly the Chiefs were aware of the video, because it's probably before today.
Well,
they
released a statement in August about it. So.
Yeah.
So they were just.
They knew in February that Cleveland police, for whatever reason, who had access to the video, didn't press any charges or do anything. And once you see the video, it's pretty shocking.
Did he know the lady, John?
I believe. I don't know the whole story, but it was pretty bad. It's in the Joe Mixon, Ray Rice.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to clean. So did he hit her?
No, he pushed her, but he pushed her down and kicked her when she's down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So I don't know what gets into these athletes. I really don't. You know,
it's not just athletes, obviously.
Well, that's true.
But yeah,
I know.
A good look.
Nothing can make me that mad. I mean,
I know.
I just walk away. I mean, I guess that's easy to say, Josh. But you know, just walk away. Seriously, just walk away. I mean,
you're
ridiculous.
Under surveillance at all times in this country. So use your head.
Absolutely. So with that being said, very, very sad story coming out of Kansas City. You know, like we're saying, that Kareem Hunt is going to be suspended. So if you're a fantasy player, you might be looking to gobble up Spencer Ware, you know, or the alert people in your league have already done it. So that being said, you know, we wish hopefully the lady recovers and everything's okay. But back into football. Josh, thanks for covering me last week. I was on world tour, went down to Vegas for about 3 or 4 days, saw the Pack play both their games in Vegas. I was lucky enough to get a skybox. Barry Phillips, my man Barry Phillips, hooked up with a skybox. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, so we got to see the Pack play UMass and Tulsa. And then we, unfortunately, I'm not going to bag on it. I said I'm not going to bag on it. Then we went to the Nevada UNLV game. And obviously everybody knows the Pack jumped out to a 23-0 lead. And the one thing that I have taken out of this game is that still to this date, there's no doubt in my mind, UNLV football fans are the worst fans of any fans that I have ever encountered, ever. John?
I'm not going to argue that.
Seriously, they're
obviously,
that bad.
Yeah.
Where we were sitting, there was many seats around us. I mean, nobody within miles. I mean, to say, you know, we're on the Nevada side. They came and sat right behind us, exactly right behind us, and just started their rebels. Yeah. And just, you know, finally one of our buddies, you know, he's a big guy, Brock, and about, you know, he's a cop, you know, on the SWAT team, or SWAT, you know, in SWAT guy. And he just kind of turned. He goes, really? He kind of stood up. He goes, really, you're going to make fun at my expense? And the guy kind of piped down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, with that being said, you know, it's you don't need it. You don't need it. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, we've done plenty of stuff.
Joe, we're in a skybox.
All the way around. I know, but I was a Zony for quite some time.
But for what it's worth, though, last year's game here, I remember UNLV had their little section right over by the one end zone, all the red-colored, you know, fans over there. And you know what? It looked like, by and large, from what I saw, they were left alone. Because you see them walking the halls at halftime, getting
just
food.
Just kind of
laugh
at them.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
But there was no, like, hostility toward them. So you would like to think, as intense as the rivalry is, at least doesn't need to escalate.
Yeah, there's people listening right now waiting for me to say something that I'm guilty of a lot of stuff in the UNLV Nevada game.
I know that the last
can't
time
really talk about
the last
this.
Time I saw that conduct out of Nevada fans was when we beat Boise because we let them have it.
We're not good winners, but
yeah, it happens.
No,
I listen. The nicest thing I can say about the game, because I'm not going to go into bashing the team. I'm just, you know, I still one of the toughest things that I've ever sat through. And I'm still having trouble stomaching what I saw.
Yeah.
It's that bad. And I'm not going to bash these guys because they're college athletes. They're out there trying their best. I do think that there were some mistakes made. You know, throwing the ball with up one with about 4 minutes left instead of just running the ball when we're in field goal range, killing the clock, making Vegas, you know, use some timeouts, kick a field goal, go up four, and having to defend the end zone at that point. I think that I thought maybe that might have been a better resolution to the to what occurred, you know. And unfortunately, you know, Ganji made a bad read and a pick occurred, but I'm not going to blame him. You know, he gave us a lot of years, you know, and we wish him all the best, you know, for, you know, a longtime starter. So Mr. Ganji, thank you for everything you've done for the university and to all the other seniors, you know, Malik and Rush and all those guys, you know. And here we are, you know. I guess if we would have been sitting here, everybody knows that I had a pretty large bet, you know, on Wolfpack over 5.5 wins, gets there real easy, and now here we are just, I guess, waiting for, you know, it looks like one team's going to be left out in the Mountain West Conference when it comes to bowl games, and from what I'm understanding, guys, I think Wyoming's going to be the team that's left out, so we're just kind of waiting, now we're just kind of waiting to, you know, for our fate for the bowl season.
Yeah, that makes sense, only because on paper, Wyoming's the least qualified. They barely have 6 wins, haven't beaten any good teams, so they're the odd guy out. Nevada has 7 wins, but Ken, I'm curious, what do you think about, in terms of the 2 seasons worth of trajectory under Coach Norvell, how would you compare, you know, in terms of how much this loss weighs into the equation of the season? Whereas last year, you know, hopes were high and everything was a new regime. And right out of the gate, it was pretty bad. Lost all these games and it went from bad to worse pretty fast. Finally, you know, picked up some momentum at the end of the year with a couple wins. But the big capper was beating UNLV, right? Nevada wasn't going to do a ball game, a bowl game, but ended the year on a real high note, winning that rivalry at Mackey Stadium. This year's the opposite, right? They're beating teams like San Diego State, Air Force, a bunch of big wins.
A pick six away from beating Boise.
Right. Looked like they're really, you know, headed in the right direction. But then you ended on that. So I'm saying, what would you rather have? Is losing to UNLV, you know, that bad of a deal? Does it really, you know, sour off the season? Or would you rather, would you rather be going to a bowl game?
Yeah. You give away a game against Boise State, give away a game against UNLV. I'll go 2-9 and deal with those wins as opposed to going to some horse bleep bowl game. You can't lose the cannon to a team of that caliber with a 23-point lead. And you can't dominate Boise State like I've never seen and lose that game. And everything's rosy. It's not. It's awful. I was disgusted. I'm still disgusted. You can hear it. It's to answer the question, yeah, give me the Boise and UNLV wins and You can keep Air Force. It was horrendous. I've never seen a Wolfpack team roll over like that. That was just Kenny can sugarcoat it. I'm not going to. I was disgusted by it.
So I think there's Josh, going back to what your question kind of was, is, you know, I think there's a lot of learning here. You know, we have we have made a lot of strides, Josh, and we're heading in the right direction. At the same time, our coaching staff is the first time head coaches, you know, first time offensive coordinators and things like that. You know, and I think there's a little bit of learning curve on their end too. And I think they learned a lot out of this game too. That, you know, you just can't let up. You just can't let up. And they should have beat that team by 50. I mean, I'm telling you right now, we were there. They were when Tatawa ran that ball up the middle, and I said, this is going to be. We're going to blister this squad, absolutely blister them, and things just didn't go our way from there on out. And it's very unfortunate because I know that, and I did read a thing on Twitter that Coach Norvell actually made the team stand there and watch the celebration of UNLV taking the cannon.
Good.
That's how much he's taking this into consideration, how important it is to the Nevada fans up north to win that cannon, and the disrespect that the players showed that cannon. I mean, and it just goes back to me just more. I despise Vegas even more now, even more now, with the disrespect to the fans and the canon and the tradition, and it just kills me.
John. It's hard to swallow, and I appreciate Coach Norvell and the direction that the program's going in. It's just that you can't blow a 23-point lead to a horrible Vegas team. You can't do it.
But for what it's worth, you realize, well, one, it means as much to them. UNLV was in our position of last year. I mean, they're going nowhere. This was their bowl game.
For sure.
Their whole year has been kind of marked by the loss of Armani Rogers. The quarterback's been hurt all year. They were pretty good out of the gate. And remember, I mentioned this on last week's show, the irony compared to Nevada is UNLV was expected to do more. Their season win total was 6 versus 5.5. But that was because of that. Lexington Thomas, everyone knows, he's probably NFL-caliber running back.
Yeah.
I realized, though, Rogers came back the week before when they choked against Hawaii, which was hilarious. I mean, UNLV was up, whatever, like 21-0 at half.
Yeah.
They found a way to lose that one. And so you go, I knew they were going to be desperate, but Ken, I hear you. Like, I was watching because you were there in person, but I was watching the game on TV and thought, after the first quarter, I almost wanted to turn it off. I'm just like, hey, this is nice and everything, but, you know, this is over. Like, why even bother? They're just going to smash them. And I saw UNLV, you know, they got a couple, you know, possession. Right? They got the first touchdown, and then suddenly, you know, 2 touchdowns in a row. Like, they're really going to make a game of this. But I will say, Ken, I did feel like at full strength, but finally with their real versatile, you know, Rodgers is more the athlete-type playing quarterback than a great thrower at this point. But he's versatile.
He really thinks he's Cam Newton.
You could tell that. But, yeah, but him and Rodgers alone, I thought that's enough firepower to kind of make this interesting. I've seen UNLV a couple other times, and they can never stop anybody, and they knew the defense is putrid. But I just thought, you know what, just in a shootout, they might just be able to make this interesting. I never envisioned the Wolfpack 3 second-half points. It was just one of those things where maybe getting up so big was the worst thing that could have happened to them, because it's similar to, look at Nevada basketball in the Sweet 16 last year. It seemed like you get up that big and you just can't kind of help it psychologically relax a little bit. Then before you know it, you look up and you're in a tight game. I just felt like Nevada in the second half really did lose their poise.
It's the opposite of a basketball team's MO. But, yeah, it's a tough one, man. We have a good buddy in town here, Joey Robinson, that roots for UNLV for whatever reason. And I have to take the pain from Joey, and you can hear it in my voice right now because I've given him – his fair share of stuff too over the years. So it's fun. You know, it's good for the rivalry in a sense that, you know, you don't want to just roll them over every year. I mean, yeah, I do, but it's, I don't know, it's good. I hope it saved Sanchez's job, because him being around as long as possible is good for Nevada.
Yeah.
But it's a tough one, man. That's regardless of the 23-point spread or lead that they had, just losing in general to them is just it's just awful. I ended up not making the trip with Kenny, and I'm glad I didn't now, because, you know, I tend to act out against UNLV. I might have been in a bad situation there.
What's even more disappointing, guys, is we got into a spot after it was all said and done. We had our offense on the field with a chance to steal the game.
Yeah.
And that's what killed me. And I just I'm speechless. I mean, I'm replaying it in my head right now. And then, you know, the fact that you got to throw that ball over that underneath guy. I mean, that interception.
You couldn't see him apparently twice.
Yeah, the guy had a 10-yard, 15-yard cushion, and he tried to throw it through him, I guess.
With that receiving core, that the scheme that we run, it's just unbelievable to me that he couldn't. I don't know. There's so many weapons out there that were not utilized for whatever reason. I don't know if UNLV had a great game plan against them, whatever. But
I mean, the cockiness to go for it on fourth down, and when they threw the ball to the tight end, I thought, wow, okay, we've got this figured out.
Yeah.
We go score. You know, we hold them. We go score. I'm going, okay, we got a great game plan. Here we are. We're going to just bury Vegas. I'm going to get faded and be happy. And instead, I drowned in my sorrows,
yeah,
Josh.
Exactly.
So, all right. Anyways, we recapped enough. You know, congratulations to a seven win regular season. You know, for the Nevada Wolfpack football team. You know, we're waiting our bowl fate. Hopefully, we can pull out an 8th win right here. It'd be very exciting, and I wish it for all the seniors and all, you know, and the momentum that it's going to bring to the Wolfpack football team. So, with that being said, let's head off to our next commercial break. We'll talk Wolfpack hoops. We still got a handicap, college football, pro football, and a lot of other sports talk. So, this is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Ton of articles out there right now, Josh.
Yep, thanks, Ken, including, as we mentioned, all the preview prediction articles on pretty much every single big conference championship game. I did a high volume of them myself, so they're all out there, including this Pac-12 one, but tomorrow, of course, SEC, ACC, all the other Power 5 and minor conferences. So it's all there, but along with pro hoops and college basketball, everything that's overlapping right now, we've got everything on there, Ken.
All right. And you can also like the sports show here at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B, K-E-N-N-Y-B, at ESPN Sports Handicapping. I did get to see the Wolfpack basketball play a couple games down in Vegas. I was very pleased. Had the over in the first game, which I won, and I had packing over in the second game, which I won. So I had actually pretty good read. And I tell you guys what, that UMass team, they can flat shoot to three. I mean, they're a better team than I thought they were. You know, then I flew down to Oklahoma City. To go to my girlfriend has a horse show down there. We were down there. I got to see my family, watch the Loyola Chicago game, and I told everybody a long time ago. I said as soon as this line comes out, bet Nevada. I preached it, and it got there. I think we've seeked revenge on two games. We lost the last game in this tournament last year against San Francisco, and so Musk got revenge for that game, and we got revenge for our loss to Louisville, Chicago.
I wish they were in the other side of the bracket of that tournament with Michigan State and North Carolina and everybody like that. They're at that level now. They need to quit playing Tulsa.
Or at least
need to go to Maui.
What about the champion of our bracket play the champion of their bracket on Saturday?
That's what I'm saying.
Come on now. At least Sunday.
Yeah, they need to start going to that Atlantis thing or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
because you're right. I mean, no offense to everybody else, but you're right. Nevada is clearly head and shoulders above everybody else in that thing last week. It's like, all right, it's fine to you know put it on Tulsa and UMass, but they really aren't in the same category. You want to see them tested against other real high-quality national teams.
And the Loyola game felt good. It really did. Cody looked extra motivated for whatever reason.
Yes.
Cody was killing it. It was just from the jump, that was blueprint of the way the Wolfpack wants to play.
Absolutely. Pack 7-0 on the year, 6-0 against the spread. And the uncanny thing here about this, guys, is that they're 2-5 as far as totals are concerned. You know, of the seven games, only two have went over, five have went under. You know, but they're covering, you know, at a 6-1 clip. You know, they've won every game this year by double digits. Big game tomorrow versus USC. USC's 5-2 this year. They're 4-3 against the spread. USC's two losses this year were to Vanderbilt. They lost 82-78. And they lost to Texas Tech, 78-63. So those are their two losses. Their five wins have came against Long Beach, Cal State Bakersfield, Missouri State, Stetson, and Robert Morris. So, you know, it's just exactly, John. You know, and I look at this, you know, this is obviously a step up from any talent level that USC's gonna has seen this year. Josh, I was looking online, and I found the pack. It looks like they're going to open up about a 5.5-point favorite, and the total will be in 160. 5.5, 160, pack lane, 5.5 on the road.
Yeah, that seems about right, Ken, except the thing is I couldn't provide too much of way the inside of USC just because I haven't seen them much this year.
They have athletes, as usual.
But right. I know they lost a couple guys, or at least the one guy jumped to the NBA, the center, and he didn't get drafted, I believe, but – but, yeah, but especially with the guy in the infield, he's always building that type of team. It's sort of similar to Nevada in that he likes to be perimeter guard-oriented and really, you know, athletic and fast. And we'll see. I wish probably before the game starts tomorrow, I'll probably look up some USC tonight just to see what they actually have. And just get some game highlights or some, somebody post a half of a game up there and you can get a little feel for it. But I just think it's great to have that kind of test, though. Nonetheless, another, you know, Power 5 conference team. This is the type of thing, not that at this point Nevada's going to need necessarily resume builders, but for people who are like, oh, great, they got a, you know, cool team, but you're playing, you know, UMass and Cal Baptist every night. Who can you really beat? This mm-hmm. helps add to their resume.
It for sure does. And, you know, regardless of who it is, if you're playing a Pac-12 school, it's a big deal for Nevada with just the way they recruit in the state of California. It's going to be a test. I kind of lean towards USC here at 5.5. I think it's going to be a close game. And, you know, on the road, it's never easy. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, obviously.
What do you think? Nevada could be a possible letdown spot where they probably did have a little extra juice for that Loyola game.
Sure. Yes.
They played hard and emotional from the start. And you do wonder if, like, yeah, it takes a lot out of you to come back and play hard again against a Pac-12 team in their home court. It could be rough.
When do they play ASU?
The following Friday.
Okay.
And
that's the Staples Center, right?
Correct. Okay. So Wadsworth has a box for that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and get down there and go to that game. So hopefully we can get down there and watch that game. But, you know, I said before when the schedule came out, I said if there's a game that scares me, it's this game right here. You know, mm-hmm. the letdown game or the – not. I don't want to say letdown game, but, you know, you travel back east, play Loyola Chicago in Chicago. You come home for a couple days. You go down to L.A., and now you're playing USC. You know, but this team's hungry, you know. And, you know, I've been reading articles, and what the Pac's trying to do here is they're taking fifth-year seniors that have been in college programs for 5 years playing against freshmen and sophomores. And, you know, it's like men playing against boys.
It is. It really is. And they're very deep. And it's what Trayshawn Thurman is brought to the table, especially against UMass.
What about Jazz Johnson?
Yeah. Well, of course, it's really nice dynamic that they've.
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see Trayshawn.
No.
Upseating Jordan Brown for the starting position.
What Jazz Johnson was described as, so that's not as shocking.
Yeah.
Jordan Brown, you see these glimpses of this guy. Goodness. He's just going to be a beast. And just it's such a different dynamic from the team that they had last year. That, you know, Cody and Caleb can just do their thing and let everybody else just kind of revolve around them. Jordan Caroline, Jordan's playing great. It's just, it's so much fun to watch. I don't know if their top game can be beaten. I really believe that. Duke, Kansas, obviously that wouldn't be easy, but the Wolfpack's A game, I don't know if that can be beaten. From what you said, they're all 23, 24 years old.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Zion
is a man.
I know he's 18.
I think he's, yeah.
But that dude's 30.
No doubt about it. You know, and I was looking at the futures today, guys, on to win the national title. Duke plus 250. Kansas and Gonzaga 7-1. Nevada's still fourth to win it all at 10-1. They're ahead of Kentucky, UNC, all these
Gonzaga
teams.
Gonzaga is scary. That's a good team.
They're a beast. Whew. Zagdra beast. So, with that being said, like we said, tomorrow Pac tips off versus USC. Right now, William Hill has not put up a number yet, but, you know, unofficially it's 5.5 and 160. Pack 7-0 on the year, 6-1 versus the spread. Obviously, you know, a big game for the Pack and a big game for USC too, Josh. I'm very excited about this game.
Yeah, for sure. And can you mention that Gonzaga? I mean, you know, it's crazy how they beat Duke last week. I thought that guy a little bit underappreciated on a national level, where after the first week when Duke, you blew out Kentucky and opened everyone's eyes to how talented they were. I mean, there was talk of this team going undefeated. Like, this is going to be UNLV of 90,
yeah,
part two.
No chance.
Like, if this team could possibly run the table. And it's kind of funny how quickly that stopped. To me, that tells you how good is Gonzaga. I mean, when everyone's wondering if Duke's going to have this historic, you know, run, and they knocked them off. And I just put it this way. I think college basketball this year is extremely top-heavy, and Nevada's in that top,
they
for
are.
Sure.
They are. Well, Gonzaga and Nevada are going to always have to outdo everything else to get any respect.
Maneuver each other on the West Coast.
Yeah, why is there not another battle in Seattle with Gonzaga? Everybody wants to see that.
Yeah, I agree.
Ken, what happened on your Vegas trip, by the way? I saw some of your photos. You're hanging out with Doug Knuth and
Nevada
people.
There.
How did you run into that situation?
We had a skybox, and they were just hanging out with us. You know, it was a bunch of who's up there, so to be honest with you.
You're telling me you should check out our gambling show? About all the bets
No. You got to be real careful when it comes to the university and stuff like that. So, no. Yeah, Doug Knuth stopped by. I talked to him for a brief minute or two and told him, you know, he's doing a hell of a job up there at the University of Nevada as athletic director. So, you know, I was looking up some of the rankings, too. Rebound margin, the Pack ranked 24th in the nation at 8.3 plus rebounds. Caleb, 21 points a game. That ranks 34th in the nation. The Junkyard Dog, Jordan Caroline, rebounds a game. He's ranked number 26th. And Cody, 27. He's ranked 27th in assists per game. So, at 7. So, very exciting, John. We're right there.
Caleb's at 21 points a game. And he could be
if he
at
wants
30.
To be. Exactly.
He could be at 30 without a blink of an eye.
Isn't it fun to see? Isn't it just fun?
It
to
really
watch?
Is, and I just, you got to enjoy what you're watching right now, because this is a once in a lifetime team. This is a, I wouldn't compare them to those Rebels teams that you just mentioned, but on the Nevada level, it is. It's as big. They're rock stars around here. You see those guys walk around.
Which, by the way, I was mentioning Duke being lumped into them.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think in that vein, John? Like, especially with the way the starter's gone, and you see the local, you know, fans, you know, checking out the games and seeing all the scores. Like, Ken, I guess what I'm saying, I'm sure you've seen it too. Social media everywhere. There's already whispers, can Nevada go undefeated? And I wonder if there's always an argument, you know, that's never great to lose or whatever. But let's just say, if they were to fall tomorrow at USC, is that better than not, than have it go to like 23-0 or something and be that crushed if a loss happens?
They called Musselman today the wizard without a shirt. They said as long as he has the wand and he, you know, that we're going to be fine. This team is hungry. I think he's going to do a good job of keeping them motivated, Josh, and I think we're going to be okay. I really do. You know, and like you said, you know, and going back to talk about rock stars, we would be in the skybox, Josh. We would be in the skybox. And watching the football game here at Nevada, you know, we always go to the football games. We have a skybox, and all of a sudden, we would think there's a break in the action, and the biggest roar of the crowd would come up. We're going, "What happened? What did we miss?" And it's Caleb and Cody just walking the track in front of the fans,
or Mus,
yeah, and just people going crazy. So you're right, rock stars, absolutely.
But you
rock
remember
stars.
Ken, of course, I'm sure you do too. But last year's Wing
and
Fest,
nice kids
when they were down
great
there,
great kids too.
And I remember you, I think, texted me a picture. I'm like, "How cool is that?" You know, ran into the Martin, you know, brothers at the Wing Fest. I think it was, you know, Friday night after our show. Yeah. You were down there. I'm like, "Geez, that's amazing." But it's so funny, my Facebook feed that night, though, I must have had like 50 other people also. Like, everyone who stopped it was getting a selfie. Yeah. Like, these guys are, like you said, flat-out rock stars.
Like,
and that night, everyone in town was trying to get a picture.
They embrace it. They're eating it all up, which is, they should. I remember I ran into them at the
Bojangles?
Brew Brothers, yeah. Brew Brothers, and it was just – and Lindsey Drew was there as well. And they just were so cool.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. They came and ate wings both nights at the County of Chicken Wing. We came back. They said, "Ken, we came back for some more wings." Yeah. I said, "Here they are." Great stuff. Great stuff. So with that being said, Wolfpack tomorrow versus USC, laying 5.5, 160. Let's just continue with college football real quick, guys. Still no score in the Washington game. 8:15 left first quarter, 0-0. Josh, John, I'm just going to kind of throw it up to you. A bunch of games tomorrow. I'm going to just let's start with the first game, Oklahoma-Texas. I saw the number open up at 7.5 at a lot of places. Nick used 8.5 on the card. It looks like it's sitting right there at 8. Obviously, Texas dished out Oklahoma's only loss this year. Big 12 championship game tomorrow. I'm assuming that if Oklahoma wins, they'll probably get in, barring some kind of major catastrophe or unforeseen circumstances. So with that being said, Josh, is 8 too many?
Possibly. You know, it's funny, Ken, because this is like a replay of the first game, like, right? Same venue, same spread, same teams.
Well, different. It's, this one's in Dallas Stadium.
Okay, but still, yeah. You know, somewhat similar circumstances. I think, put it this way, I like Oklahoma a little bit in this one. I actually had Texas in the first one, but there's all kinds of circumstances that have changed. Of course, like you said, the incentive for Oklahoma to not only get in the playoff, but they're probably going to have to win impressively because they're likely going head-to-head with Ohio State for that final spot, and Ohio State's got Northwestern. They should probably, you know, 14-point favorite. They should dispatch of them. So Oklahoma's going to have to win and be impressive doing so. I've actually liked Texas a lot this year. They've been good to me in the handicapping. I've been pretty good at predicting their, you know, high points and when they might have a letdown. I like Sam Ellinger a lot. I know Texas fans sometimes seem a little split on him. I think the kid's fantastic. He doesn't shy away from the big moment. But he's been hurt. He's had a shoulder issue. He hasn't been quite himself. And even against Kansas last week, he had a couple picks, kind of let them in the game. And they'd be okay if they had to go to the backup, Buchel. But I think Ellinger not at full health is a key factor. And I just don't know if they can do it twice. With Oklahoma, with that much of a firepower edge, I kind of see them having the advantage.
Oklahoma's getting half a 100.
I love it.
It just depends.
How much are they giving up, though?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It just depends on.
They just can't give up half a 100 plus one.
Yeah, half 110 is what they can't give up.
Yeah.
I just. My hatred of Oklahoma is outweighed by my hatred of Arnie States, though. So I think I like Oklahoma here.
All right.
I think they're gonna destroy him. I really do. Kyler Murray, I know Tua is amazing, but Kyler Murray's the best player in college football.
Do you know, if I was reading stats on Tua. You know he's only thrown 3 passes in the fourth quarter this year?
Yeah, he doesn't play.
He doesn't play in the fourth quarter.
It's like the Warriors.
Some of these stats, I was going, my goodness. So with that being said, obviously I'm an Oklahoma fan. I'm going to probably lay off the game.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I might be looking to play a little bit of this total, Josh. What's the total?
78.
Anything under 84.
John? Can we get 28 out of Texas?
You get 28 out of Texas.
Look at this.
Because you know how many Oklahoma's getting?
Half a hundred.
Remember last week, I should say, at this time Friday night, we had Oklahoma and West Virginia. It was ridiculous. A total of like 88 up from an opener of like 82. I'm like, this is just insane. And it was almost over at halftime.
Yeah, exactly.
The halftime score is like 42-41. So.
All right. Alabama, Georgia. Josh.
Alabama.
Yeah, it's 13.5, Ken, total of 60.
Does Georgia have a chance in this game?
I think so. I mean, it's the SEC title game. Put it this way. Here's the reason. I just say you bet against Alabama at your own risk, right? I'm not sure I'm eager to jump in front of them for any reason. But I say this. Of the four teams that are likely to go to the playoffs, Notre Dame, who's already in, all the other contenders who either have a loss or have been pushed, you know, near a loss a couple times, everyone, even Notre Dame, almost lost to Pitt. Alabama's the only team that hasn't been pushed once. And it looked like Auburn was hanging right in there last week. That was a good game plan, close game at halftime. Alabama, 21 points in the third quarter, got them. I just feel like it's time. I mean, it's just time for one team to push them, and why not Georgia with the home field advantage and the Georgia Dome, and revenge from last year's national title game on their minds. And think about it, it's 14. I mean, it's not like they can even get beat fairly handily and cover that. I just think Alabama gets pressed once.
One time, huh?
Once.
Yeah, I could see it. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Georgia. But I just – This is the best Alabama team I've seen in this Nick Saban run just because of Tua and their ability to just destroy you from the offensive side.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, you can run on them, and if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Georgia. So at two touchdowns, at 13.5, I'm going to bet Georgia. I don't love it, though. I think this might be like a 55-19 type game. Just because Alabama's they're just that much better than everybody else.
I hear you.
It could be 24 all heading into the fourth and end up 42-24, Alabama has that burst.
What's T-Dog saying?
T-Dog, amen, brother. Kyler Murray is by far and away the best player in college football.
All right, thank you, Tim Williamson. I appreciate it.
That's coming from a Nebraska guy.
All right, that's true. Let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump
into Detlef Shrimp Flaherty.
The NFL slate. This is William O'Sullivan Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens. Make sure you like the sports show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We need to jump into this NFL slate, guys. We got a little bit lost in Nevada Athletics, Josh. Colts traveling to Jacksonville. Colts laying 3.5, opened at 3.5, up to 4, totals 47. You know, interesting AFC South battle here. You have to, you know, actually the Colts laying points on the road, which is absolutely crazy. Jacksonville 3-8, benched Bortles. You know, Indianapolis still playing for a wild card spot. Josh,
yeah, I agree it's crazy, Ken, because you realize just a few weeks ago this matchup happened with the Colts being the home team, and it was only -3, right? And it, I remember Jacksonville had a big comeback, and they pushed. That fell right on 3. So this is weird. You know, flash forward a few weeks later, and now they're laying more points than they were at home, which just shows you about a 7-point swing, how far down the Jags have fallen in the odds makers' minds there, Ken. But with the situation as improved as the Colts are, I still would only have the Jags here. And I realize, you know, they're giving up on Bortles. Cody Kessler has actually been okay at times when he's played in his career, a kid from Stanford. And, yeah, I mean, overall it's probably a pass. But if I had to pick it, I'm going Jags with the points.
I can't. They've burned me too much.
I hear that, too.
They were my AFC Super Bowl pick.
They went from 3-0 to 3-8 or whatever they are.
Yeah. I love it. Don't get me wrong. As a Steelers fan, the Jags being awful is great. But I just can't buy
it.
What
did you think of that Steelers comeback against them?
It was satisfying is what it was. It should have never been in that hole in the first place. But the fact that they dug themselves out of it was fantastic. But I just can't do it. I hear what you're saying. Just the defense has taken such a step back for the Jaguars. That's one thing, you know, take Bortles out of the equation and everything. You wouldn't think that defense, as stout as it was, would take this kind of a step back. And they flat out have. And Andrew Luck's playing great, and he can expose that. So
what are you thinking? Everyone blames Bortles more or less. They say, well, the defense helped him get lucky. You know, all the stars aligned last year. And a general feeling is like, well, Bortles is so bad they just can't overcome him this year. And yet you see it all the time. Teams with great defenses do overcome mediocre quarterbacks, and yet the Jags have been unable to. I'm surprised just how far they've fallen off.
I like the game under 47.5, guys. You got Jacksonville with a decent defense. They're going to be out there playing with pride. Jalen Ramsey's back this week. You have a Colts team they're going to try and run the ball a little bit. Jacksonville's going to try and run the ball a little bit. You got a back. Bortles has been benched. Give me under 47.5 in this game.
Sounds good.
Pittsburgh at home, John, versus the Chargers. Pittsburgh laying 3.5, still right at 3.5. Totals went from 51.5 to 52. The Chargers have given up the third least amount of points in the entire NFL this year. They've given up a total of 219 points, you know, for the year, John. What are your thoughts here? Are Pittsburgh at home? I know the road splits for Roethlisberger are just enormous. Is this a defense you think he can get it done with?
Yeah, it is. And this has been flexed to the Sunday
night game.
To the night game, so it's... It's a little bigger contest now, but I don't have any those splits. It's a weird thing because the Steelers rarely lose on the road, even if Ben's putting up numbers the way he does, and just a horrendous pick. And he really is one to spread the blame around instead of just looking in the mirror and say, yeah, that's a bad read by me. Maybe I shouldn't have thrown that ball. That irritates me.
That was weird how he went on radio and just totally threw his receivers under the bus.
Antonio Brown is who you're going to pick out. Let's.
I like what Brown's comment was. He goes, yeah, I can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also the rookie, right, James Washington.
Yeah.
He kind of blamed them both for his picks. He's like, oh, yeah, that guy ran the wrong route. Well, Washington's like, yeah, he didn't lay out. He didn't catch it like he should. He just, you know, he shouldn't have jumped. He should have just run through it. I'm surprised to just specifically call guys out like that.
Yeah, that's one thing that really irritates me about Ben Roethlisberger, who's my favorite player of all time, pretty much, I think. But this game in particular, this is going to be a great game. I don't think it gets to the, what was it, 52? I don't think it gets there. Steelers are playing pretty well on defense as well. And, you know, Roethlisberger versus Rivers, that great draft class, you know, you throw Eli in there. And it's Phillip Rivers likes to show up in games like this. I think it's going to be right down to the wire. I think the Steelers win the game, field goal, in that range. I like where the spread's at. I just don't think it gets there as far as the total goes.
They actually announced
Steelers coming off a loss at home at a night game.
They've covered six straight in this spot.
It's a very dangerous animal.
Melvin Gordon out, too.
Yes, that's huge.
Out. So Panthers traveling to Tampa Bay, laying 3.5 on the road. Still
division.
350 opened up at 55.5 down to 54.5. Winston's going to get the start here. You know, you have Carolina trying to get in that wild card. You know, the Saints are 10-2 after the loss to Dallas last night. Carolina's four games back. That's just absolutely crazy. And then you still have Tampa Bay fighting. They're fighting. They're 4-7. You know, probably, you know, they obviously don't have anything to play for this year, but pride. But still, Josh, there's something for me to be said. I think Tampa Bay's going to be able to move the ball in this game. I like Tampa Bay in this game, +3.
I liked them last week against the Niners, who I knew, you know, they would have the firepower advantage against and the third-string quarterback. But this one here with the Panthers, like you mentioned, still trying to stay alive, but sort of in a crowded field for an NFC wild card matchup, because you realize NFC East teams like the Eagles are also, they're all you know, vying for a couple wild card spots. I would only have the Panthers.
Yeah, they really let me down last week with that Seahawks loss. I guess I got to start buying the Seahawks. By the way, but yeah, I like the Panthers in this spot. This Buccaneers are just a disgrace to the NFL. I hate the Buccaneers. They kill me all the time. Give me the Panthers.
All right, Falcons at home. Land. Nick used a half on the card. It's up to 1.5. The Falcons playing the Ravens. Totals 40, went from 48.5 to 49. You know, I guess it's time to start believing that the Falcons are just not a good football team. 4-7, Baltimore, the best defense in the NFL, going on the road. You know, they got their big Lamar Jackson project going. Things, you know, things are going good for Baltimore. I mean, what does Atlanta have to play for? You know, you still have Baltimore in there trying to make the wild card, 6-5, one game behind Pittsburgh in the AFC North. You know, Pittsburgh 7-3-1. I mean, if I can get points with the Ravens, give me the Ravens.
Yeah, seriously. I know what you're saying, and every time you think there's the Falcons look appealing, especially this year, they've done nothing.
They haven't recovered from the Super Bowl loss, Josh.
Apparently not, because it's looking like. Yeah, and they still will show flashes of it. Like they blew out Washington a couple times. They'll give you a little hope, and then when you start thinking,
we had a good month.
You know, they look good against the spread against anybody. End up on the short end of it. But this one too, it's the same thing again. I could end up on the sucker side because it's basically a pick 'em. But the thing is, I'm just still not. Put it this way, even though the Falcons have a real weak defense as well, I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson as the future of Baltimore yet. And I mean, this is a cheap price to fade a rookie quarterback where you still have Matt Ryan on the other side. I still would take Atlanta despite being burned constantly by them.
I'll take the.
It's a terrible game.
It is.
It really is. I'll take the Ravens. They're still in the thick of it, like you said, Kenny. I mean, they're still alive in the division somehow. Oh my goodness, that almost went in. They still play stout defense. Falcons are just a mess. I don't understand it with the.
The coach is out, right? He's got to be.
I was impressed with what I saw last week from the power running game from the Ravens. I mean, they just line up and impose their will, and that's what you're going to see tomorrow, in my opinion. I like the Ravens in this spot, guys. I really do.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Texans at home versus the Browns. Opened at 5.5. It's went to 6. Total's 47. You know, this Texans team, they fall behind 10-0 last week versus the Titans, and they find a way to win. But is there really I guess you can make the argument, but is there a more exciting team to watch in football than the Cleveland Browns? And I know you're going to say Kansas City, and I agree with that. But, I mean, this team, I love what the Browns are doing. You can give me the Browns plus 6 in this spot. Why not? I mean, who are the Texans to separate? Give me the Browns. Give me the Browns.
No, you're right. As well as they're playing, it does loom as way too many points. Despite Texans, I know they've won 8 or 9 straight, whatever it is. But the Browns, given this many points, are usually hanging right in there and covering. But, Ken, I don't even know what the record is yet, but I'm just still horrified, though, because I have that big future bet on Browns under 6 wins. Every time they win, well, I'm like, no. Like last week, I couldn't watch
4-6
the game
in
the morning. Oh,
4-6
bad.
And 1.
Because I was out running some errands, so I checked the scores for the first time. And I see that Cincinnati, you know, the Bengals score at halftime. I'm like, no. I knew I don't need another Browns win happening. So I don't have much wiggle room on that one. So I need them to lose, and I hope.
This is a week.
Yeah, I hope Houston gets it.
But by less than 6.
Texans are really good.
I guess so, aren't they?
They really are. Their defense is great, and Deshaun Watson's playing well. They haven't lost in 3 months, Ken.
I know.
Give them a little credit.
Well, they lost 3 games in a row, and then they haven't lost since.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm just saying. I think it's going to be. I think the Browns and Baker are going to have enough to keep it close.
All right.
That's kind of just what I think. Okay, Miami at home versus the Bills, 4.5. Doesn't Miami just? Is it?
I don't know.
I think if there was ever a time to play Miami as a chalk, this would be it. And yet it just seems like in this specific rivalry, the underdog seems to win like every time, no matter what the deal is. But
do I have to talk about this?
Briefly.
Bills.
Bills. Just goodness sakes alive. You know, you got to block that guy right there. It's 56, you're running down the field, and you don't block anybody. You stare
at
everybody.
That was crazy. He would have scored. The guy tracked him down.
Just stop and just block somebody instead of just standing in the middle. that play I just saw was more exciting than this.
I agree, but look at this. But this safety has some speed, too, because the running back should have had the edge.
Look at this, 56.
Yeah,
never mind. I'm not going to block anybody. Anyways, I'm going to defer on this, but this certainly seems like – a game where Miami gets up 4 and they score 40. I mean, I've been waiting for an explosion out of Miami all year.
The Dolphins?
Yeah, I do. And I think the Dolphins are going to score a lot of points. Bears going on the road versus the New York football Giants, laying 4.5. Total down from 46.5 to 44.5. So a 2-point middle on the under in this game. I can see the move, Josh. But the Giants are terrible.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? They have improved in recent weeks, so they're finally starting to come along a little bit. One thing we've kind of tracked on the Bears since essentially the word is out that they're much improved and a pretty good team. It's you like them at home sometimes. I still like that road favorite thing, which they haven't been good in these spots at all. I would still take the Giants. I just think it's still not ready to lay four with the Bears on the road.
With the uncertainty of Trubisky.
Yep.
John?
I like the Bears. I just the Giants are garbage.
You don't like the Bears?
I like the Bears.
8-3?
Their defense is sick.
Yeah, I agree with that. They've given up 200.
They went 5-0.
They've given up 211 points this year on defense. That's the best in the NFC. Best in the NFC.
Bears are dope.
So you know, just and they're scoring too. They've scored 317 points on offense this year. That's ranked number three or four in the NFC.
They run the
NFC.
Hell out of the ball too. And I like the Bears
without Jordan Howard.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know that Jordan Howard is even out of the mix right now. You know, you look at this Giants. What are you looking at, Josh?
The headline.
What it says?
The Chiefs released Kareem Hunt.
They released him?
That's what it said.
Wow. We talked. We broke with this and just said Kareem Hunt and got into a domestic violence and just got released.
Go watch the video. There was no other alternative.
That's crazy, too. This guy led the league in rushing last year as a rookie. Yeah,
Tearing it up this year.
They're all right. All-purpose guy, one of the top, you know, I mean, weapons. You look at him,
you know,
Todd Gurley, one of the top versatile weapons in the game.
We have 30 seconds before we have to go to commercial break. But you know what, Josh? Good for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Good for the Chiefs. That's telling you that nobody is bigger than this.
And that franchise has been burned before by Larry Johnson.
Be good for the Packers, whoever signs him on Monday. Because somebody's going to.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, with that being said, the breaking news, Kareem Hunt just released from the Chiefs for domestic violence. So, Spencer Ware, for all you fantasy players, if he's out there, I'd snatch him up and play him real quick. So, we have to go to traffic. We're back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Racing Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Kenny B, your host, stepped away momentarily, and I think he either had to place a bet or take care of some business at the Club Cal Neva, where he's the vice president. So we will continue to, along with John Stevens, continue going down the NFL slate here. Pretty sure we left off with Bears-Giants that we were kind of split on, and the next game on the ledger here is Broncos -5 at the Cincinnati Bengals. But, John, what do you think? We saw early on in the year the Bengals were like the surprise breakout team. They were looking good. The offense
was
back to healthy, but still and you're right, it was a short sampling, but with each passing week, I thought, geez, maybe they're at least back to where the playoff contending type, to maybe a 10-6 type of team. And they've completely fallen apart to epic proportions so much that the Broncos, who have won a couple games and look improved, nothing special, but they're laying almost a touchdown on the road. To me, I want no part of either side.
I know. It's tough. This is actually one spot that I'd actually take the Bengals.
You would?
Yeah.
But you know what? I took them against the Saints thinking the same thing, and they lost by 50, and I'm done with the Bengals
were my play of the week that
yeah,
that week,
right.
So.
That one of mine, too, I think.
God knows I'm never in a hurry to take the Bengals, but this is a spot that, you know, Broncos coming off a big win like that. I can't lay those points with the Broncos.
I don't think so either. Ken, Broncos, Bengals, who would you take?
Well, it opened at 4.5 and it's went to 5. I mean, just what Cincinnati have to play for? I mean, no. I know AJ Green's supposed to be back this week, you know, but you know, I don't know, this Cincinnati 5-6. I guess, John, theoretically, they're still in the AFC North. I mean, I'm with you guys. Give me Cincinnati at home +4.5. Is that what you guys are saying?
We're more or less saying pass, but also like yeah, if. Bengals are probably the right
side. They're still in it, guys. I mean, they're only two games out of Pittsburgh. They win this game, they're at 6-6. You know, they could be tied with the Ravens depending on the outcome of that game. You know, and then Pittsburgh, you know, does Pittsburgh and Cincinnati play this year again, John?
No.
So they're done? Did Pittsburgh go 2-0 against them?
1-1.
1-1? Well, so, I mean, theoretically, Cincinnati's still in it. You know, Joe Mixon, A.J. Green. So, with that being said, I would only have the Bengals at home as a dog. Rams traveling to Detroit, laying 9.5, total 54.5 up to 55, went from 9.5 to 10. You know, the greatest show on turf, Rams 10-1 this year, 389 points. 389 points they've scored this year, Josh. It's just crazy, crazy video game numbers.
Yeah, I kind of like the Lions here, Ken, just because as poor as they've been pretty much all year and inconsistent and all that, but this is where the Lions have done their best work, right? Their touchdown. Underdogged in New England and won the game outright pretty handily. And then They were an underdog about 4.5 points to Carolina a couple weeks ago and won it outright. I guess what you don't want to do is play Detroit when they're a favorite and whatever expected. The expectation is that they're better than their opponent, but they do well in these spots. But especially with Ken, the only thing I like is I feel like it's a bit of a letdown spot for
Steelers
the Rams.
Steelers swept them, sorry.
The Rams have that big that huge game against the Chiefs, right? So this may be a little bit of a letdown from that. And also, I just like the matchup in terms of I think the Lions can score with them. We know 10 for NFL home teams, like getting 20 with a college team at home. Detroit, I think, covers here.
I do, too. I like all that. They can score with them. That's just flat out what it is. They can match them, especially at home. Dome situation. Lions will hang out there. They tend to play to the level of their competition. Lions aren't atrocious. They're fine.
All right. Let's see. Packers at home versus the Cardinals, laying 14.5.
Get total real
43.
With that.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, here he is again saying they're going to win out.
No, they won't. They'll win this game, but they're not going to beat them by 2 touchdowns. The team's just not good. It's time for a divorce between those two. And I know what I'm talking about in this area, this arena. But Aaron Rodgers gets a pass more than anyone in the world. And
I agree.
And I get it. He's physically the best quarterback I've ever seen, I believe. But, man, it's at some point, you just – the expectations have got to become a little normalized. He's not Joe Montana. He's not Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I agree, John. But the thing is with the Packers, it's so funny. And you're right. He and Mike McCarthy have gotten a hall pass forever. And it's kind of funny because when Rodgers first came up, they're like, oh, it's great. He's got all the physical talent. But can he really do anything? Can he lead them? Well, you get that one Super Bowl, which everyone knows is huge and how a lot of players are judged. When they get that Super Bowl, it's great. You figure it might be the first of many, or at least they'd be a contender. But it's like, okay, Rodgers got that kind of monkey off his back. They're like, all right, can the guy win in the clutch? All right, you got one. So maybe he's the real deal. But seriously, a couple years later, and the Packers are in the playoffs here and there. But now, before you know it, it's been like 8 years since that Super Bowl. They haven't even sniffed another one. And you're like, yeah, by and large, they've done nothing. And although Rodgers still has all the physical talent, to me it's worth noting, in that loss to the Seahawks, I mean, that was ridiculous. He missed a ton of wide-open throws, especially on that one drive where they settled for a field goal. We had like 3 guys wide open on the third down and 5 play or whatever. So I just think it is about time where everyone likes him because he seems to be charismatic and he still does have great talent. He never gets knocked for failure to come up big.
It's the facts.
All right. Kansas City traveling to the Raiders, without Kareem Hunt, been suspended. Kansas City laying 14.5, totals 55.5. How do you think this suspension is going to focus the Raiders? I mean, excuse me, the Chiefs?
It might. You never know, but that's a tough blow. I got to think that everybody was pretty aware of that something had taken place. But the video is jarring when you see it. It really is. I can't stress that
enough. I'm going to have to because I haven't seen it.
It's rough, man. It's disgusting. But I don't know. What are the Raiders doing? You going to trust the Raiders?
No, not especially not after last week.
Yeah. I think Andy Reid gets them together and puts a good game plan together and blows the doors off the Raiders.
This is the rivalry game where you always – it's like Dallas and Washington. There's always – no matter how bad one of the teams is, they always seem to rise up and keep this game close.
Yeah,
you don't think that this is a Raider team that can
do that? I don't think so. I think this we're looking forward to the Vegas Raiders at this point.
Very, very well could be. Josh?
Well, yeah, and clearly with the way the season transpired, that's pretty much the approach they're taking is longer term. Like, hey, start the – rebuild from scratch now, and maybe we'll have a nice core by the time they move the franchise. But in this spot, to me, again, maybe it's just ingrained in me because I can't do anything other than take the points here. Maybe the Chiefs might be down. It's a letdown. Pretty much your best offensive playmaker is gone. He's here today, gone tomorrow. And we know they have some other guys, of course, Watkins and Kelsey. We know who else the Chiefs have. But to me, again, it rates as a flat spot where they just got up for – of course, they ended up on the short end of that great Monday night game. But I don't know. I mean, again, I mean, 14. You're right. Can't think about it. I mean, you're looking. You need the road team to win that thing, like 42-14 or whatever to cover. I just don't. I said Oakland.
There it is.
I would just take the points.
Wow, they were just showing bits and pieces of this of this Kareem Hunt thing. I didn't get to see it. I'm going to have to check it out. So
it's not good.
Yeah, sorry, Josh, let me interrupt you. But I'm with you, Josh. I mean, it's probably a game where I'm just going to lay off. I mean, 55.5. I mean, if this game approaches the total, it's all Kansas City.
Totally. They're going to get the most of it themselves.
Exactly.
Right, that'll be 42 to 17 or whatever. Yeah.
Titans at home versus the Jets. The Jets will not announce their starting quarterback until game day. Titans laying 7.5 up to 8, totals 40.5. This Titans team's pretty good. You know, they jumped out to a 10-0 lead versus Houston, and then things didn't go their way the rest of the game. You know, they're still 5-6 right there, having a pretty good year. They seem to be getting a little bit more healthy. You know, they play pretty good defense. You know, with that being said, you know, the Titans at home versus the Jets. Give me the Titans here. I think you get a bigger effort out of the Titans.
Well, it's a ton of points. I put it this way. I feel the same way with Tennessee as I do Detroit, meaning you don't play the Titans as a huge chalk, but they're better situational as a dog. They've proven all year. I think the Titans have covered every time as an underdog, except for against the Jags on Monday night. But they've beaten the Patriots and the Eagles. This is a bad spot for them, though, because they're still kind of erratic on offense. I'll put it this way. If the Jets aren't starting Sam Darnold, I will take the points. Not if he's in there.
What? Why are they playing that close to the vest?
It's a good question. I don't know, because it seems like they're at times Tennessee can look pretty explosive.
They can.
But then at other times they don't. But
I know. I'm not in a big hurry to lay points here, but the Jets are just.
I know. But still, to me, Tennessee is just can't go laying a touchdown. It's like, you know, it's like laying two touchdowns with someone else. I mean, it's tough.
It is.
But the next game on the list here is Vikings and Patriots. Speaking of New England, so Patriots -5 with a total of 49.5. This is an interesting one. We're out of principle. I mean, the Vikings have kind of come up of late. I mean, they're still in that NFC North race, but they're pretty desperate. But
I stepped away. What'd you guys say?
I said if Jets aren't starting Sam Darnold, I'd take the points. But the Titans are just hard to lay points with. But Ken, so Vikings, Patriots, and to me, as the Patriots proved a few weeks ago against the Packers, it's still one of those things. Even though, you know, their overall profile, you know, they're down a little bit. But again, that's one of those principal things, though. You give me inside of a touchdown at home against just about anybody, and I'm only on New England.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm definitely going to have them on a teaser here. I like the Vikings. I think the Vikings are a quality team, both sides of the ball. Yeah. I like what they do.
But when you're looking at an underdog, this is just feel like not enough points against New England. Throw me 5 points.
Is the price dictating?
I like Minnesota.
You do?
I like Minnesota.
Is the price dictating the victory here, Josh?
I could, but you know what? You could have said the same thing when they were only laying 3.5 against, as we admittedly, that we agreed the Packers are a pretty dreadful team. The Patriots were only laying 3.5 against them like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like the same thing here. Like the Vikings might be getting a little too much respect. It should be 7.
It might be, yeah.
It should probably be 7. Tell you what, you're telling me that I can win on 7 in that game with the public in love with the Patriots. Okay, let's say I could probably very well close 6.5, but I still don't care. But it's like if that game is 27-20, and you win with New England, I'll take that every day.
Yeah, that's the thing. You see the Patriots under a touchdown, it's just automatic.
And it sounds like oversimplified, and yet I bet you if we went back and saw, right, over like the last five or this whole decade, how many times the Patriots were inside a touchdown favorite at home, which means the opponent's pretty good, which means that's when they play inspired.
Yeah.
Come on, we already know even without checking it, it's probably 80%.
If anything, it's comfortable.
It's exactly. Comfortable and it's probably going to give you a good chance no matter what's going on.
No question about it.
So, Ken, you mentioned Vikings, but we haven't heard why.
No, I just like the Vikings. I could see this. You know, I'm not a believer in the Patriots this year, guys. I know that's going to sound crazy. They're 8-3. You know, the defense, they have a very slow defense. You can score against the defense. You know, they've given up 249 points this year. I think that Minnesota can be just physical enough. You know, with their running game, Dalvin Cook's back. He's healthy. They're going to be able to run the ball a little bit. I think they can play a little bit of defense. I think the Vikings are good enough to hang around. I just think it's going to be not necessarily a shootout, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, you look at the Patriots, who they play last week. I had them in a 10-point teaser after they came up. They were coming off a bye.
Who did New England play last week?
I'm drawing a blank right now. Anyways, I think the Minnesota is good enough to make this a football game. Minnesota 6-4, 6-4-1 right
Jets.
Now. The Jets. You know, I just think Minnesota's good enough to keep to stick around in this game. I mean, I'm looking at 5.5. It's already went to 6 in some spots. You know, give me the Vikings right here. I just think the Vikings are good enough to stick around in this game.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Seattle at home versus the San Francisco 49ers. Seattle's really turned the corner, guys. They opened as a nine and a half point favorite. It's all the way. It's up to 10 right now. You know, I like what I'm seeing out of Seattle. You know, here we are. You know, they're 6-5. You know, all of a sudden back in the playoff hunt. You know, they're tied for a wild card spot right now with, you know, Washington 6-5, Minnesota 6-4. Carolina 6-5, and Seattle is right there. They're getting that running game going. San Francisco 2-9. Obviously, you know, that they kind of rolled over, you know, once Garoppolo went in. But they've competed. But I don't know.
Exactly, Ken. I think you're right. I think Seattle's better than expected, and it proves legit. I mean, they're 6-5 now, still fighting for, again, a crowded NFC wild card race. They're going to need this. You know, it's tough because I'd like to think.
That's a lot of points, though, Josh.
It really is. The Niners have been decent spots like this. Not last week, where they're only getting 3 at Tampa. I didn't like that at all. But in this specific spot, yeah, like you mentioned, again, this year the Niners have actually been pretty good when getting a boatload of points like this, and I probably would take them or pass.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks. I mentioned earlier in that Panthers
game.
Seems
like a 10-point teaser play to me, John.
It does, and what the Seahawks have done, it's really impressive. I thought that they were dead.
All of a sudden, they can run the ball.
All of a sudden, you can run the ball. They're playing pretty good defense even. And Russell Wilson's just fantastic. And that's something that's never changed there. But I'm a believer in them. They're right in the thick of that hunt as far as getting a wild card. And I like them here. The Niners are atrocious. So it's a good combination. It's still sort of a rivalry, right?
Yeah.
My Niner fan friends seem to hate the Seahawks. So who knows?
All right, let's head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll handicap the Monday night game, the Eagles and the Redskins. I want to talk a little bit about this boxing match tomorrow. I'm very excited about this boxing match. I want to get you guys' opinions on that. So this is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Caliva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Caliva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, independent handicapper John the Hawk Stevens. Monday Night Football, Philadelphia at home, laying 6.5. Total's 44.5. This is a very interesting game right here. Philadelphia is 5-6 right now, one game behind Washington and two games behind Dallas after the Dallas beat the Saints last night. Dallas sitting atop the NFC East at 7-5. You know, you kind of feel like Philadelphia has one grasp of air left. One grasp of air. They have to beat Washington this week.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody knows Washington, you know, the horrific injury to the quarterback from Washington, so they're a little bit quarterbackless. But, you know, Philadelphia is just – what's that?
Just a little bit quarterbackless.
A little bit quarterbackless. But with that being said, you know
– I'm a little bit quarterbackless.
Can Philadelphia really lay 6.5 points against this Washington defense? Washington can play defense, guys.
Oh, I agree, Ken, but they're one of the top teams scoring defense in the league, but – with Colt McCoy in there, and you know, with extra week to prepare, he actually wasn't that bad against Dallas, although he had 3 interceptions. But he made a couple of huge plays to help kind of keep them in there and try to come back. But the Eagles have been so far down, Ken. At first, you wondered, you know, was it a Super Bowl hangover, and they had a bunch of injuries, and you keep thinking they might turn it around at some point. All they need is a real solid win. Well, they got one against Jacksonville, and then just turned around and fell apart. I was just surprised. You know, not that the Saints beat them, but how bad that was. To me, that shows you how far the Eagles had fallen. When you look at clearly the best team in the NFC, at least at the time, was New Orleans. And, you know, the Eagles just couldn't do anything. So this is their last gasp. You realize they were down 16 last week against the Giants, and they would have just been dead if they didn't find a way. They found a way to pull that one out. And now, yet, believe it or not, it's like the division is still within reach if the Cowboys lose a game or two. Under all those circumstances, I would take the Eagles. I think this is finally where they come around.
Yeah, the biggest victim in the Cowboys winning last night was the Eagles. I thought it was set up pretty well for the Eagles to take back control with an easy Saints victory. But, man, the Cowboys played great defense and made the plays that they had to make. And I still think the Eagles are going to win that division. I just think that they're cut above. And it starts on Sunday here. I like them. Redskins played fine defense, but that's a team you can't get over what happened to them with Alex Smith. It takes so much out of you when your leader goes down in the fashion that he did.
Yeah, and they had also won a lot. Even with him, they're kind of playing above their skis.
They were.
They won a ton of tight games.
How eerie is it, all the Theismann and Alex Smith coincidences with that play? It's just same yard line, same date, 3-time defensive player of the year did it. It was really weird.
Isn't that weird?
Same score.
Was it all those things?
All those things were the same. It was nuts.
That's crazy.
So hopefully Alex Smith doesn't turn into Joe Theismann now, and we have to listen to him for 25 years. But it's in this spot. I think the Eagles win out, and it starts on Sunday.
That being said, we're going to post all of our picks tonight on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Josh, John, I want to get you guys' thoughts about this. There's a big boxing match tomorrow. It's been a while since I've been kind of excited about a heavyweight boxing match. You know, but you have Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, versus Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King. You know, Wilder, 40 and
these aren't great nicknames.
40. No. Yeah, 40-0 with 39 knockouts for Wilder. You know, Tyson Fury, 27-0 with 19 knockouts. His famous, you know, he beat Vladimir Klitschko in 2015. Basically retired from boxing after that. He got hooked on drugs, got hooked on booze, ballooned all the way up to 400 pounds. He's had two.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
He's had two fights since then. You know, against really substandard.
No name guys.
Yeah, substandard opponents. You know, and Deontay Wilder sitting right there at -165 with the round total at 9.5. You know, I like Wilder in this spot, guys. I'm going to give it out a little bit later, but I'm going to take Wilder. I think Wilder's going to get to him. He's going to knock him out. I mean, the kid's 40-0 with 39 knockouts. He's kind of a short price. I'm going to take Wilder at -165 and it to go under to try to cut into that -165 and take the under at +120, Josh. And I know that you're a huge boxing guy. What are your thoughts, bud?
Yeah, and it's a bit of a clash of styles, and you mentioned that fight against Tyson Fury against Klitschko, he famously ended Klitschko's 13-year undefeated run and won the title. That's also famously one of the most boring heavyweight title fights of all time. They basically danced around each other, and Fury landed a couple jabs, which won him a disputed decision. So a lot of people thought Klitschko still won. You're right, he hasn't done anything since.
Signed the rematch.
And you know what?
Decided I'd rather drink pints
of
beer.
Right, and you're right. I guess it's his lifestyle or whatnot, because I looked into the fight a little bit today, because I thought Fury was like mid-30s or whatever. He's actually only 30 years old. I thought he was like 37. I thought he was like nearing 40, but no, he's 30. I guess it's the hard living ways have gotten him aged a little early. But Wilder, I had to question him too, Ken, because the fight fans have been slow to get behind him as the American champion, only because by and large he hadn't really fought anybody except his last couple fights. He has kind of been tested and he came out on front.
What a great comeback in his last fight.
Right, and he was on the ropes. I was like, he was going to lose that fight, and he came back. And of course the big fight that everyone wants to see is Wilder against Anthony Joshua. For some reason they couldn't come to terms. So with what's out there and the people willing to fight, this is kind of the next best thing. But as I texted you earlier, Ken, today, I still think, given their pedigree and everything, this price is like, I was stunned. A couple weeks ago, William Hill came out with price for this fight, and it was like Wilder -130, +110 on the underdog. And I thought, geez, that's out of line. So now this is steeper, and it shows you the early, the action's really favoring Wilder, but as it should be, he's the much better fighter.
And with that fight looming with Joshua, I know how boxing works. He's not going to lose this fight.
I know how boxing works.
I understand how boxing works.
Although, if Fury were to win, though, he's from the UK and so is Joshua, it'd be the biggest international heavyweight fight ever.
This is America, bro. These colors don't run, Josh. You know damn well Deontay Wilder's going to knock that dude out.
I believe he's the justified big favorite.
Then we can be let down by Wilder and Joshua in 6 months.
Exactly.
I can't wait for that night.
But at least, I don't know what happened, John, because that thing fell apart. Because at one point they said, the ink was as good as dried on the contract. This is going to happen. They had a built-in rematch. They were deciding what to do. Wilder had agreed to go to the UK, but they said win, lose, or draw. No matter who wins, guaranteed rematch back in the U.S., which makes sense. So both guys get one on their home floor no matter who wins the first one. So they had like a guaranteed two-fight series plan, and I don't know how it fell apart.
Boxing.
Pretty much. That's all you need
to know. That's all it
is. The demise of boxing.
That's the one thing I'll always say about Dana White. He gives you the fights you want to see when you want to see them. Boxing can't say
sometimes.
Well, I'd say 90% of the time.
There's lots of good UFC fights that have never happened, though.
Is there?
Sure.
I don't know. It seems like when the public wants something, he gives it to them.
I agree with that. So this fight is tomorrow. Deontay Wilder, a favorite, -165 over Tyson Fury. Very excited to see this fight. 40-0 with 39 knockouts versus 27-0 with 19 knockouts. So I'm gonna back Wilder in this fight. A little two-team parlay. That's kind of where my money's gonna go. William Hill officially put out the line, as we kind of suspected earlier in the show. It looks like the Pack did open up at minus 5.5 versus USC tomorrow, in a total of 160.
And so that's live now.
That's live
what
now.
What time is that game?
I believe it's 4:30.
We got some TV on that?
Yeah, I think it'll be on TV. Okay. I think we'll be able to find it.
Fox Sports 1?
All right.
Fox Sports 1. John, predictions on the Pack basketball game tomorrow?
84-81 Wolfpack.
So close, high-scoring game?
Yes.
You think so, coming dogging over?
Dogging over.
Josh?
I have to look into USC more, honestly. I mean, I couldn't tell you. I mean, the way things are going, though, I mean – yeah, high score, I'd say the over for sure, because USC likes to play fast pace also.
All right, real quick, Boise plays Fresno tomorrow. Fresno State opened up as a 2.5-point dog and have moved to a 1-point favorite. So the money's coming in on Fresno versus Boise in the Mountain West Conference championship game. Josh?
Yeah, you know, I take Boise again, only because similar to the Patriots, you know, theory we talked about, you get Boise this cheap on their home turf. They've been covering. They did it again last week against Utah State. You know, they saved their season by beating Fresno once. It's hard to do it again, but I think they're a little better than the Bulldogs.
Fresno's better. But, like you said, it's hard when you have that price with Boise at home. It's tough. But I am taking the Fresno State Bulldogs.
A couple of big spreads. The ACC championship game, Clemson laying 27 to Pitt, real quick, Josh.
Yeah, Pitt. I mean, only because, I mean, Clemson should clobber, but people realize, you know, Pitt sort of backed into that. Like, the Coastal Division was really bad in the ACC. Miami had a real down year. But you look at, put it this way, Pitt, for some reason, has a habit. The last time Clemson lost at home, it was to Pittsburgh. Yeah. They have a habit of really keeping up as a big underdog. And just that's so many points, can, even if they're, you know, determined to slaughter them. Clemson has no real incentive to, because they don't need style points for the committee or anything like that. And I just think, I mean, Pittsburgh just shows a pulse in what is a championship game. They'll cover.
Pitt's a pain in the ass. It's that simple.
They usually are, yeah.
But one of our listeners, Thomas Carr, just corrected me. The Pack plays at 1:30 tomorrow, and it's on Fox. 1:30 on Fox.
On so, 11 Fox? Not even Fox Sports 1?
He just wrote Fox. All right, guys, time to give out our best bets. I'm going to Mark Vespi sent me his. He's going to go with Central Florida, Northwestern, the Falcons, the Patriots, and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know. Myself, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars game under. Jacksonville under, Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to go with the Fresno State Bulldogs and a two-team parlay, guys. I'm going to go with Wilder. The Bronze Bomber, Deontay, the Bronze Bomber, Wilder by knockout, two-team parlay, Wilder and under.
All right, I'll go with Eagles for the NFL, along with the Lions and Patriots.
Oh, we're almost there.
And for
so you got Philadelphia, Lions, and New England.
Right. I guess for college, I would say, you know, Oklahoma, and actually in a makeup game that doesn't mean anything, but Stanford against Cal, I like them too.
Ravens, Lions, Eagles.
Ravens. Lions, Eagles,
and
all right.
Fresno State.
All right, and we're gonna post these on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We have about 15 seconds left. Pack tips off at 1:30 tomorrow on Fox Lane 5.5 versus USC. Huge, huge game. Make sure you do all your wagering at William Hill Racing Sportsbook. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.